There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Developing Dynamic Faith.
I say to you this morning that knowing some things about God, it's good. Even James says, that's great, wonderful that you know some things about God. But he says, in fact, in verse 19, the devils also believe and tremble. And so we see today that there is dead faith, and I see that across the country today, and you do as well. We see that there's demonic faith. Even the devils believe, but intellectual belief is not enough. Then we come, thirdly, to what we're talking about this morning, that is dynamic faith. What is dynamic faith? Verse 18, please. Notice what it says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, let's let that sink in a little bit. Let's read that verse together. Find it there if you would, please. James chapter 2, verse 18. As a classroom together, let's read it this morning. Ready, begin. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Now, true biblical faith is dynamic, it is life-changing, and it is courageous. When we are growing in faith, we are believing God, doubt is diminishing, our faith is rising, we are trusting Him. Someone said, fear not. Faith answered, and no one was there. When you have fear in your heart, I encourage you to come to the Word of God and build your faith. So, dynamic faith. Now, these next few thoughts didn't get into your notes, but I want you to jot them down. If you want to know more about dynamic faith, I'm going to give you three characteristics right now. I think the verses are there. Three characteristics of dynamic faith. Number one, it is a scriptural faith. Dynamic faith is always born from the Word of God. How many of you understand this morning we are not talking about the power of positive thinking? We are talking about the power of biblical thinking. We are talking about letting the Word of God dawn in your heart a new faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And so a man lives by believing in something. Not by debating, not by arguing about many things. A lot of people like that. Their lives are like ping pong balls going everywhere. But when you get a hold of the Word of God, you start going forward for God. And the Word of God propels you into a life of faith. I like what B.R. Lakin used to say about preaching. He said, preaching is like the measles. It will break out all over you if you let it. I like that a lot. You know why I like that? Because God has used in my life Bible study and preaching to strengthen my faith. And when I get into the Word, then my faith is strengthened. Or you can say to someone, I'm praying that someone will get saved, or that my business will be blessed. And some people are immediately skeptical. Why? Because they've not been in the Word to the extent that you've been in the Word. When you get into the Word of God, your faith is strengthened. It is a scriptural faith. Secondly, this dynamic faith is a spoken faith. It's going to be something that you speak about. And again, I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about your faith in God will be known by those around you. Now, turn, if you would, in your Bible to Mark chapter 11. I want you to see this principle firsthand today. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 20 about spoken faith, about telling out what you believe in your heart. We're looking at dynamic faith. It is a scriptural faith. It is, secondly, a spoken faith. Now, Mark chapter 11 and verse 20 is a story of Jesus with his disciples. And listen to this. It says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God." Let's say that together. Have Now notice what he says in verse 23. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now the text goes on, and it defines the issue of forgiveness in your heart, having a pure heart when you pray. And this is not about name it and claim it theology. This is not about telling God what to do. But it is about this fact, that there is a God in heaven who is looking for people who believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it is time that some Bible-believing Baptist people say, we serve a miracle-working God who can do great and mighty things. And you see, it is going to be a spoken faith. When it's real in your heart, you're going to say, I believe that my God is able to do this. Then it's not only a scriptural faith and a spoken faith, but thirdly, it will be a seen faith. When someone's faith is real, you can just see it all over them. It's kind of funny. Sometimes we watch our kids around this campus when they fall in love. They just get weird. They notice nothing else around them. You can almost hear the birds flying around their heads. You know, and how many of you know what I'm talking about? When someone falls in love, you can just see it all over them. It's just so obvious. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When someone is living a life of dynamic faith, that's a different kind of a life. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now listen, we may have "In God we trust" on our coins, but the question is it in your heart this morning? Are you trusting in him? Do you believe that God is able? Do you understand that without faith, it is impossible to please him? The definition of dynamic faith is that it is a scriptural faith. It's a faith that will speak out. It's a faith that will be seen by those around us. They will say, something is different in that man's life since he met Jesus Christ, or since she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, America is going to hell in a handbasket because of dead faith, dead churches, Christians that have gone AWOL. It is time for some people today to put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that revival is possible, and believe that his promises are true, and believe that he will do according to his word. So this is what dynamic faith is all about. Notice secondly with me this morning, now, the development of dynamic faith. Someone says, "All right, since I need to grow in this matter you're speaking about today, how do I develop this? How can I have a faith that is stronger?" As a pastor, I've noticed that it doesn't matter what we announce, there will always be a couple of different responses. There'll be those who go, "How's that going to happen?" There'll be those who go, "Yes, I'm ready. What's the difference? Why is it that some have a more developed faith?" Well, I'll give you today a few ways that you can develop your faith in these upcoming months. First of all, we develop our faith by obedience to the Word of God. It sounds simple, but as I obey the Word of God, then my faith begins to grow. James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So when I am working at my faith, when I am trusting God, I begin to strengthen over and over again. Joshua 24:24, the Bible says, "And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." Now, whenever you see Christian people obeying God, you're going to see a people of strong faith. You look into the Old Testament, the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness, think of this, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, listen, 11 miles from the promised land. And over again God said, "Harden not your hearts. Break up the fallow ground." What was the problem? The problem was they simply wouldn't obey God in the very basic things. Hence, their faith began to shrivel away. Now listen very carefully. Your faith and mine is like a muscle that can atrophy. My wife and I yesterday visited a dear member of our church, and she laid there in a hospital bed, and her muscles have atrophied. And many of you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in that situation, or you visited someone who for many weeks could not get out of bed, The first thing they have to do is get into some kind of physical therapy, and they've got to start getting their muscle tone, and they've got to start working again so that they can use those muscles. Now, you show me a Christian who doesn't pray, who doesn't trust God with his finances, who doesn't trust God with his family, who doesn't believe God, who's not willing to witness. You show me a Christian who doesn't read the Word of God. Pretty soon, their faith begins to atrophy. And when we do not read the Word of God and obey the Word of God, even true faith will die if its possessors do not live in a spirit of obedience. You see, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. And we must be willing to trust God and obey Him in those areas which He reveals to us in order that by trusting Him day by day, our strength as a Christian grows and grows and grows. And oh, today, that through obedience, our faith would grow. Now, there's a second way that faith grows, if you're taking notes, and that's through testing, or some people call it trials. Now, how many of you would admit with me, Pastor Chapel, this is not the way I like my faith to grow? No one's going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, God, give me a trial this week. Let me have some testing. Maybe a pink slip, Lord. Maybe my pay will be cut. Maybe I'll lose my job entirely. Lord, whatever it takes to make me a strong Christian. Most people don't pray that. That's not our choice for school. But I say to you this morning that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. D.L. Moody often said, faith must be tested. God builds no ships that He does not intend to send out to the sea. And God is building your life, and sometimes storms will come into your life. Now, I think of many in the Bible who had tests, and those tests strengthened their faith. I think of Abraham. And Abraham answers that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want you to think about Abraham's trial. It's an unbelievable trial. Now, I believe the scriptures are in your notes there, and you can see it there in Genesis 22:9. And you know the story. The Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, we'll look at this a little more in depth tonight, but many of you know the story. Abraham had no son. He had prayed and prayed, and finally God said, I'm going to give to Sarah, your wife, a son. And finally, after years of waiting, Isaac was born as the promised son, the one that would bring the promise of God, the seed for the nation of Israel. What a great day that was when Isaac was born. But now the Lord says something that you and I perhaps can hardly understand. He says, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac up to the Mount Moriah. I want you to lay him down on an altar there. And I want you to sacrifice your own son as a way of telling me how much you love me. You know the story. Isaac carried the wood as a picture of Jesus Christ who carried the cross. Isaac willingly laid down on the altar as Jesus Christ voluntarily laid on the old rugged cross. And God the Father shows us in the Word that Father Abraham lifted up the knife, and at the very moment when he was willing to obey God in a sacrifice far beyond tithing, in a sacrifice we can't even comprehend, all of a sudden, as the knife is now lifted, a voice from heaven says, Abraham, Abraham. And look at what it says in verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. Look at this. For now I know that thou fearest God. Do you understand that that was a test of his faith? Do you understand that sometimes God brings tests into our life so that he can know, look it, do you love me in the good times only, or can you love me in the bad times? Do you love me only when everything's great with your health, your finance, your job, your marriage? Or can you love me when some trials are coming along? And God sometimes uses those tests to build up our faith. Integrity is keeping my commitment even when the circumstances surrounding my commitment have changed. And sometimes circumstances change. Sometimes a spouse's health will change. Sometimes your financial picture will change. But may you be faithful to your vows. May you be faithful to your God even when the circumstances change. Oh, trials will build our faith. That's why when David was before Saul and David said, why is that giant Goliath spewing out hateful things against the God of Israel? And he said to his brother Eliab, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And you know the story. David came before Saul and he stood there before the king of Israel and he said to him, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know what David said? He said, Saul, I've had some trials before. He said, I had a lion come and attack me, and I had a bear come and attack me. But by God's power, I saw that lion and that bear taken away and destroyed. And he said, because of the trials that God has brought me through, I know God's going to bring me through this one too. Have faith in God. There's no big plan. It's just to say this. Look around you folks and see what God has done. He can do it again. That's how faith is developed. By obeying God and by enduring the trials, your faith gets stronger and stronger. Well, let's notice finally and thirdly this morning, the display of a dynamic faith. How will you know when it comes all around you? How will you identify it when it takes place in your life? The display of a dynamic faith. Now notice, if you would, in verse 21 of James chapter 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, Lehman Strauss said it this way, James teaches faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. Think of that. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. So in other words, if you are truly saved, there will be the evidence of that salvation displayed in your everyday life. How will it be displayed? Well, there are many ways. I'm going to give you two. First of all, it will be displayed in your spoken testimony. You will say concerning your faith, what you believe. You will share that faith. And of course, you will show that faith. Verse 18, I will show thee my faith by my works. I think of the church at Thessalonica. In your notes there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And Paul was writing to this church and he said, I remember without ceasing, listen, your work of what? Faith. Say it with me. Your work of faith. He said, I didn't just remember your faith. He said, I remember your work of faith. And as the history of that church was written by the Holy Spirit of God, it was written that they were a people who had a working faith. They had a dynamic faith. They had a faith that was seen, noticed, and evidenced by all those around them. You read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All the churches of Macedonia said, that church at Thessalonica has faith. And when the history of this church is written, it is my prayer that they will say that was a church with a working faith. They had a work of faith, and it was spoken and it was known. Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May it be our prayer, not for our pride's sake, not that we might have a pat on the back, but for the glory of God, that what takes place here is the direct result of our faith in the Word of God, and that the light of the gospel shines brightly because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A dynamic faith is a spoken type of a faith. It is also a sacrificial kind of a faith. It is a sacrificial testimony. Again, we see Abraham mentioned. And there in verse 22, it says, seest thou how faith wrought in with his works and by works was made perfect. Now, tonight we'll develop this a little further. But Abraham was saved when he believed God. Way back when God called him out of that Mesopotamian region to a land unknown to him, he said, faith dawned in my heart. I followed God. And the minute he followed God, he was saved by faith. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. But now, wait a minute. Though he was saved by faith in the Lord and in the word of the Lord, his faith was justified when he did what God asked him to do. In his heart, faith dawned and belief sprung forward into action. And so that justified the validity, the veracity of his faith. Now listen, no one who's ever studied the Bible at all would question Abraham's faith. Everyone here would say, hey, Abraham and faith, that goes together. He was a great man of faith. And that ought to be our testimony as well. A people of faith. Why is it that we don't question his faith? Because his faith acted, and his faith sacrificed, and his faith caused him to obey God. It is not what we say, but what we do that proves the quality of our faith. And whenever there's someone with a true heart of faith, there will be a sacrificial tone or connotation shown in their everyday life. My granddad was such a blessing in my life. And oftentimes, as a bean farmer in Colorado, I'd go out and visit him on the farm, and farmers just have wisdom. They have some knowledge. He did from walking with God and working the land. And a lot of times he would just say things to me about faith and true faith. And one time he said, Paul, you can know a man's testimony of faith by looking at his checkbook ledger. He said, you'll know what he values by taking a look right there. Because he said, true faith always has a sacrificial spirit. It wasn't just Abraham. It wasn't just Moses or David. If you'll find in the Word of God any person of great faith, they were willing to step out and sacrifice their pride and sacrifice their own possessions. Say, Lord, here I am. If you don't provide, I don't know how it's going to happen. But here I am, Lord, trusting in you. That's what happens during these seasons of life for me and for our church. It's just stepping out and saying, Lord, here we are again, trusting in you and doing what we can, but asking you to do, Lord, what only you can do. Now, let me close with this. Dynamic faith will always begin when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's where it starts. You say, I don't understand some of these things you're speaking about today. Then understand this. There is a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross for your sin and to shed his blood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of that blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, listen to this, through what? Faith. It's not of yourselves, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you might be right here in this church this morning having dead faith. You know things about God, but you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are not sure right now that you are on your way to heaven for all of eternity. I heard about an evangelist that stopped by a town and he wanted to find the post office. He saw a young boy. He asked directions to the post office. The boy told him how to get there. The evangelist said, by the way, son, he said, I want to invite you to our meetings tonight. We'll be meeting over here in the big tent. You can come and hear me preach. He said, I'll tell you how you can know that the way to heaven. The boy thought about it for a moment. He said, I don't think I'll be there. He said, you didn't even know the way to the post office. Now, folks, you may not know the way to the post office, but if you can understand John 3:16, you can know the way to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I remember that day, April the 5th, 1972, 4289 Yerba Buena Avenue in San Jose, California, when I knelt down at the bedside of my parents' bedroom there, and I confessed that I was a sinner and I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and be my Savior. I tell you, that's when faith dawned in my life, when I received Christ as my Savior. And if you've never made that decision, you cannot grow in faith until you've been born in faith, until you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, listen, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to be declared righteous, then I encourage you today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too will be saved. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, I've made that all-important decision, then I challenge you this morning to develop dynamic faith. Let it be a year where you see God do the great and mighty in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to learn about living life through Christ. And thank you that you are a God who develops dynamic faith within us. I pray, Lord, that this development process would be more and more real and more evident as we progress through this year.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's payment as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.